It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 20th day of April 2021. It is 4:20. It is 5:02 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on 4:20. I don't want anybody to get confused. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. That's where you should go if you would like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Pop on by. You will be immediately greeted by early arriver, Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third stage guild navigator, has elected not to fold space to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Robin. And thanks very kindly for the sweet, kind, lovely welcome back that you all gave me last night. Thank you so very much. Made it through 3.5 hours of radio. Might have been a little too much. I don't know. But, well, it's hard to keep a good girl down. It's even hard to keep me down. But anyway, it's kind of, this is one of those days when the program sort of preempts itself. We're all waiting with bated breath and on tenterhooks for the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial. Some of our, cynicism, I think, is boiling over. None of us, it seems, some of us do. I saw our buddy Michael in Madison saying, no way that the jury acquits. It is... The jury announced that they had a verdict a couple of hours ago, and it was announced that the verdict would be announced sometime between 4:30 and 5. And, well, we're past 5 Eastern Daylight Time, and still no verdict, so we're kind of hanging around and waiting. Let me get a message to Sparky. I'm thinking that based on whatever it is we hear, that we might want to do some front porchery just to get a sense, you know, not just me rambling or individual calls, but to get a sense of what the community thinks about whatever verdict does come in. Sparky asking, what is taking so long for the verdict? It's up to the court. The court is probably in communication with law enforcement. Minneapolis is a fucking armed camp. People are peacefully gathering outside the courthouse in Minneapolis. And, I hate to use such crass terms, but it is the judge's show. And the judge makes the call. That having been said, let me answer an early question coming in from Flavio. We all know we love our Latin here, and Flavio is, as mentioned a couple of times, judgment non obstante veredicto, JNOV, a judgment notwithstanding the verdict, where the judge would overrule a jury's conviction. Flavio asking, what if the jury votes to convict on all counts and the judge, who was really exercised over Maxine Waters' comments and was appointed by a Republican governor, sets aside the verdict? He may be a Republican, but I don't think he's an idiot. It would be extremely, highly, almost unspeakably irregular for him to do something like that. Of course, if there's an acquittal, then there's nothing to worry about in terms of, because a judge can't say, nope, I disagree with the jury, you're guilty of sin. I don't see that happening. They are at present, apparently, standing for the jury to enter, and the verdict is guilty. Guilty of what, though? And I guess I'm going to have to... Let's go and get the audio if we possibly can, so that it can be part of the historical record, as it were. Come on. Well, apparently we are behind time. Okay, let's hear it.
The Twin Cities, we're back in court. Let's take the judge.
The judge certainly playing the drama for all it's worth.
All rise for the jury. All right, please be seated. Members of the jury, I understand you have a verdict.
No, we do, Your Honor, nothing. It's already been handed to him.
Members of the jury, I will now read the verdicts as they will appear in the permanent records of the 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota, County of Hennepin, District Court, 4th Judicial District. State of Minnesota Plaintiff versus Derek Michael Chauvin, Defendant. Verdict, Count 1. Court file number 27, CR20. 12646. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:44 p.m. Signed, juror foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count two. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count two, third degree murder perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Signed by jury foreperson, juror number 19. Same caption, verdict count three. We, the jury, in the above entitled matter as to count three, second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty. This verdict agreed to this 20th day of April 2021 at 1:45 p.m. Jury foreperson, 019. Members of the jury, I'm now going to ask you individually if these are your true and correct verdicts. Please respond yes or no. Juror number two, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number nine, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 19, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 27, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 44, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 52, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 55, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 79, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 85, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 89, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Juror number 91, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Jury number 92, are these your true and correct verdicts?
Yes.
Are these your verdicts, so say you one, so say you all?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Members of the jury, I find that the verdicts as read reflect the will of the jury and will be filed accordingly. I have to thank you on behalf of the people of the state of Minnesota for not only jury service, but heavy-duty jury service. What I'm going to ask you to do now is to follow the deputy back into your usual room, and I will join you in a few minutes to answer questions and to advise you further. So, all rise for the jury. All right, be seated. With the guilty verdicts returned, we're going to have Blakely, you may file a written argument as to Blakely factors within 1 week. The court will issue findings on the Blakely factors, the factual findings, 1 week after that. We'll order a PSI immediately, returnable in 4 weeks. And we will also have a briefing on, after you get the PSI, 6 weeks from now, and then 8 weeks from now, we will have sentencing. We'll get you the exact dates in a scheduling order. Is there a motion on behalf of the state?
Your Honor, the state would move to have the court revoke the defendant's bail and remand him into custody pending sentencing.
Bail is revoked, bond is discharged, and the defendant is remanded to the custody of the Hennepin County Sheriff. Anything further?
Aye.
Thank you.
That means his ass is going to jail. He just put his hands behind his back to be cuffed. Justice has been served. How much justice? I don't know. I still wonder why it wasn't first-degree murder. Why he wasn't, we shall see now what the judge does with the sentencing. What the world or at the very least the decent people of this country will want is consecutive sentencing on all the sentences. In other words, let him serve one, then serve the next, then serve the next, not concurrent. And hit him with everything and max him out. I've seen a lot of talk about, he's a first-time offender, Bill, so he'll probably get a light sentence, relatively speaking, in regard to the war. No. So, by the way, let me take care of a little bit of the business that we take care of at the beginning of every program here. I have some thanks to send out because every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so thanks go out to Ralphs jumping in and to Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you to Cecilia. Thank you to Tina. Thank you to our pal Reverbo. Thank you to Carl. Thank you to Armand. Thank you to Dr. John. Thank you, Vincent. Thank you, non-billable Rick. And thank you to an anonymous friend. So that puts us, let's see. That puts us at $795 to come up even with the evening. Thank you all so very much. I'm inundated with breaking news stuff. Chauvin found guilty. And a lot of early commentary again. If you want, the button for the front porch conversation is going up or has gone up. Let me refresh here just to find out. The brother Deacon Asa is in fact working on it. And we've got other stuff to talk about, but among other things in regard to the jury verdict being announced, Lamar the Magnificent says, "Let the bullshit from Fox begin. I give less than an hour before Fox News TV Radio Rwanda starts screaming Auntie Maxine is the reason Officer Asshole is going to prison." Well, the simple enough answer to that is, no, it's not, because the reason Officer Asshole is going to prison is because Officer Asshole murdered a guy. And, you know, I despise coverage of things like this, because instead of just going about the day and delivering the news and then cutting in when the when it goes live, there's been a couple of hours worth of palaver speculating, and that's all it is. It's just bad attempted journalism about what this will mean and what that will mean. And one of the things I heard was that, you know, whatever the verdict is, you know, this is important for the family. And it, sure. But nobody, no member of George Floyd's family is going to go home happy, because George Floyd isn't coming back. He remains a murdered black man in America. A pluribus unum, out of many, one. And so, we can say that justice has been done. I did. But I don't know that it has. I don't know that there's any way for it to be done. What is it? And the blood of Abel cried out from the ground. We're back to that. And does this mean anything in the larger discussion or the dialogue about police violence in this country? Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan pointing out, although we have a long way to go, it's a step in the right direction, and I agree. Steve in New York says, "I don't like reveling in anyone's misfortune or pain, but I can't help but have tears in my eyes." I understand that, because this is one of those situations where you go, well, for once, and one cannot help but ponder the injustice relative to the slaughter of Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, I'm sorry. Sandra Bland. You know, just to name but three out of a whole host of people murdered by cops. And what'll happen now is there will be a pre-sentence investigation report, I presume. I guess Minnesota works like other jurisdictions. There will be a pre-sentence investigation report and a recommendation made by that whatever office performs it, made to the judge. And you know what? One thing that will be a little bit different in that regard than was in the trial is that in a pre-sentence investigation report, all the shit about Derek Chauvin that didn't come in during the trial because of the rules of evidence, his past bad acts, the number of times that there were complaints about excessive use of force, all of that stuff can be considered in terms of a pre-sentence investigation report. And so all that talk about that I heard about, well, you know, he doesn't have a, he's a first-time offender, blah, 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 blah.
It may not quite come out that way, and that's why there's that's why we're it's 6 to 8 weeks before before sentencing. And woe betide Derek Chauvin if he is not absolutely candid in every respect in regard to the pre-sentence investigation report. It will not play well for him. And being as how, you know, the prosecution said the police are not on trial in their closing argument. But the fact of the matter is the police were on trial. And that is part of the reason that they so thoroughly hung him out to dry. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Because this is what Derek Chauvin did is in large part no different from what happens. We damned well know this. All over the country, every damn day. So I encourage you, if you would like to participate in a group discussion of what's going on here, pop on over to the Skype chat group and jump into the conversation. Flavio saying, wait till the sentencing. Oh, and Amber Geiger, the cop who murdered Botham Jean in his own apartment when he was eating ice cream, her appeal will be heard by a judge on April 27th. Yeah, I know. Darlene noting that Derek Chauvin had no affect. Oh, but his eyes were going back. His eyes were going back and forth like one of those kitty cat clocks that hangs on a kitchen wall, where the eyes go in the opposite direction of whichever way the tail's going. He is a shifty-eyed little bastard. Justice, says Steve in New York. Dante Wright's aunt said that justice cannot be done. I agree. Justice is never possible when a person is dead. However, this is accountability. Let's remember something here, and what seems apparent. I suspect that the cops breaking the blue wall of silence played a real role here. It absolutely did. And I dare say that from the chief of police on down, there was a consensus that they absolutely had to do it, or they were all finished. It's sort of like the Bible verse from the New Testament. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Somewhere in the bowels of the Minneapolis Police Department, there was probably a conversation in which it was noted that, well, like it or not, they are all Derek Chauvin. Because they've all probably done something similar at one time or another in their copping careers. So anyway, if you want to participate in the group discussion this evening, you're mighty welcome to. And along the way, let me mention that I had a visit with my oral surgeon earlier today, and he said they'd shot an X-ray, said everything looks good in my gums. And my jawbone, you know, like in the Bible, too, the jawbone of an ass. And I'm healing up good. Good? I'm healing up good? Well, I'll just be taking that English degree and folding it up and mailing it back to WVU. I'm healing well. Things are going according to plan. And so we will hopefully, if the crowdfunding campaign can get rolling, we'll get the implants part started, and that's about a year's worth of fun. But things are good, and all the hematoma and the bruising and shit will resolve. And one of these days, I'll have feeling back in my chin, but you know, just not yet. Lamar the Magnificent says, chiming in, okay, my turn to be a Debbie Downer. One step forward, how many steps back? For us to go forward, our justice system must reopen all cases where black people were killed unarmed under civil rights violations. That, unfortunately, cannot happen because double jeopardy is part and parcel. I mean, it is an integral part of the Constitution. Can't go back. No. Should we celebrate? Lee in New York says, happy 420. And yeah, happy 420. And remember, there is at least a civil settlement in this that happened before the criminal trial. And apparently the risk managers and the insurance company and the city of Minneapolis took one look at all the evidence and said, oh no, we're going to write a check. The check they wrote to George Floyd's family was of some $27 millions of dollars. Well, thank you for the English language grammar help, Steve, in New York. You need a healing good? You need an adverb here. Duh. It should be healing goodly. Steve knows. Absolutely. Healing goodly. Well, let's run over and check in with Sparky and see what's going on in the group. And y'all pile in. I want to hear from a lot of people this evening. Hey, Sparky.
Well, Asa hasn't put up the link yet. I keep refreshing.
Yeah, I do too, and he said it's up. But I don't see that it is.
Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you, I updated my Skype today.
Yeah.
And I went in and had a new feature on there, what's new. So I clicked on it and the page comes up about when you start a group, you can have up to 100 people and you don't need to download Skype to get in.
Wow.
All you need some mic and headphone. If you click on the link.
Oh, that could be a game changer for us. I wonder what that interface is like without Skype. I mean, you couldn't see the chat or anything like that.
I don't know, because I'm using Skype.
Precisely.
I think it piggybacks off of Chrome, Robin. I mean, it's always been there. They're just now making a thing out of it.
Oh, and the link to the front porch is now there. Thank you, Brother Deacon. It is showing up. So if you'd like to talk about this, you are welcome to jump in. Darlene pointed out a moment ago, of course he's going to appeal. Yeah, so this isn't really over. And I guess at some point in time he will make a motion to be released on bond pending appeal. I don't see why that should happen, especially in light of the fact that this was a three strikes matter. Busted on all three counts.
Well, can he appeal before sentencing?
He can appeal the conviction. But it'll probably be a unitary appeal. So he'll appeal sentencing and he'll appeal the conviction, but at the heart of it is the conviction. And oh my God, the litany of Auntie Maxine caused me to be convicted will be absolutely nauseating, and the only I doubt if the appellate arguments will be broadcast. I don't know what the position is of the Minnesota Supreme Court on that.
George Floyd family members just left the courtroom. Were there was just two of them.
Randy Radar pointing out, Madoff made off with the money, Representative Wiener sexted his wiener, Cardinal Law laid down Cardinal Law, and Officer Chauvin is a male chauvinist pig. Yep. So, Steve, what do you think?
Hey, Robin. Having said on a jury, and I'm not trying to sound like a know-it-all or Karnak the Great or anything. I thought that when they wrapped it up this quickly, yeah, he was going down, and I couldn't be more happy about it. Bye-bye, dickhead. It's about time, man. About fucking time. I mean, it doesn't bring Mr. Floyd back. Nothing will bring him back. So really, like you were to your point, is justice served? I guess as well as it can be.
Yeah.
But it's about fucking time. Because this shit has to stop. It has to stop.
And the thing is, as Dante Wright's case proves, it ain't stopping.
Right. Well, hopefully this will send a message to all these trigger-happy assholes in blue, and they're not all like that, okay? Let's go on record. Let's
yeah, absolutely. We yeah. always have to say not all yeah. cops.
Right. Because, you know, I know some really good people.
I do, too. I do, too.
Yeah.
And I've known some really bad people.
Yep. And they're ashamed when this kind of shit happens. They don't like it because it reflects negatively on them.
And this is not to say, and at least here in West Virginia, as often as not, when somebody decides to
hey Ray,
when somebody decides to be an asshole to a cop in West hey, Virginia, Ray. 9 times out of 10, that's a white guy.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And people do get the shit kicked out of them because you know it's just not a good thing. Drunk rednecks running their mouth at cops. I mean. But they usually don't get killed. Okay, who's feeding my audio back at me?
It's not me, bro.
No, I know.
It's Chris.
Oh, okay.
You've got two lawyers in the room now, Bob. So let's get their take on it.
Go ahead, Billable.
He was talking to somebody. That's why I muted him.
Oh, okay. Maybe I wonder if he knows he's muted.
I seen the other Steve from New York hop in here. I believe.
No, you didn't.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Sorry. My bad. No lawyers yet.
Billable has a poor connection. And of course, it's not over. I mean, there's going to be an appeal. But with any decency at all, he will be cooling his heels during the pendency of that.
Billable's unmuted. So.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, you would think that he wouldn't be out on bail, pending the appeal. I mean, for a murder charge, I mean that's usually not done, you know.
Yeah.
And I think. Maybe.
Oh, where'd you go, Billable? In the meantime, I don't know. Are you there, Billable?
I'm trying to be. Let's see here.
Okay. Yeah, so far, so good. Yeah, you got to put one arm up in the air, stand on one leg, and hold your tongue let go.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay.
You're kind of there.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody just walked into the room. She had her wedding dress on the back of my office door.
Hmm.
Oh, here, hold on. I got to turn off the audio on the other stream here. Hold on.
Okay.
Billable, you're marrying people now? What's going on?
No, I'm not actually.
Justice and my, peace.
The receptionist here had her wedding dress dry cleaned, and she needed somewhere to hang it because she doesn't have her own office cubicle. And she hung it on a hook in my office on the back of my office
door. So I thought you were doing a side hustle.
No, I don't do that. No, that's not.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd sent off your $25 to the Universal Life Church and you had a Marian racket going on.
Well, that does happen, doesn't it? Yeah. That's people have been known to do that, you know. But
I'm a minister of the whatever in the Universal Life Church. Damn skippy I am.
Have you made money on it?
No.
Have you claimed your house as a deduction? As a parsonage?
I don't know. Maybe we need to talk.
Yeah, those don't usually work because you usually have to have a congregation and, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, shit, we got one of those.
That's true. Who says it can't be online, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Church of the Sacred Sex Clam?
We've got deacons, we've got brothers, we've got, like, you know...
We got a bishop.
I've got a bishop, Brother Bishop Steve, and damn, it's like, you know...
You got an atheist.
You need to give out more titles. Then maybe it would be legit, Robin, you know?
We have a mom.
And you got a follower later. And you got a follower of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, too.
Yeah.
Right. I'm licensed to marry people, but only if I'm wearing a colander on my head.
Oh, okay. Well, yes. You wouldn't want to go into a ceremony without the right vestments, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yes. As well, Chris, you know. That's mandatory.
And by the way, speaking of deacons, Brother Deacon Asa said, may I interject here for a moment? This is obviously a case of George Floyd putting that innocent white police officer's knee on his own neck for 9 minutes and die just so he could soak the city for $27 million. Wake up, sheeple! I expect to hear that on Fucker Carlson's program this evening.
He gets a cowbell, I think, Robin. That was good.
Absolutely. I wonder if this puts the fear of God in any cops in this country.
Well, I think it puts the fear of God in the other three cops charged in this.
I'd be looking for a deal.
I think you're going to see some deals.
What are they charged with?
Keep in mind, the deals they're going to get aren't going to be very good because they didn't testify against Chauvin. They didn't provide substantial assistance to the government with regard to Chauvin. So the deals are going to not anything necessarily, you know?
I don't understand why he didn't take the... I don't know the nature of the negotiations. Is this one of those kind of cases, Billable, where you can't offer a plea deal? You just have to try it?
Well, I think maybe because of the pressure from the community, from George Floyd's family, you know, that type of thing. But I mean, generally, I think in a case like this, the prosecutor would consult with the family to see if they're okay with the proposal.
Keith Ellison's getting ready to say something.
Okay. Yeah,
he's talking now.
Attorney General of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Let me see if I can bring that in. Sorry about the clacking.
Oh, there you go. I see it talking.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to it before it's gone.
I got a CNN stream. Only it's kind of an offbeat one. It's called livenewsworld.com. Watch CNN live stream to circumvent the crazy restrictions on my computer here. I can't go to CNN.com.
Okay, here we go.
Human being. And there is no way we can turn away from that reality. The people who stopped and raised their voices on May 25th, 2020, were a bouquet of humanity. A phrase I stole from my friend Jerry Blackwell. A bouquet of humanity, old, young, men and women, black and white, a man from the neighborhood just walking to get a drink, a child going to buy a snack with her cousin, an off-duty firefighter on her way to a community garden, brave young women, teenagers, who press record on their cell phones. Why did they stop? They didn't know George Floyd. They didn't know he had a beautiful family. They didn't know he had been a great athlete. And they didn't know he was a proud father or that he had people in his life who loved him. They stopped and raised their voices, and they even challenged authority because they saw his humanity. They stopped and they raised their voices because they knew that what they were seeing was wrong. They didn't need to be medical professionals or experts in the use of force. They knew it was wrong, and they were right. These community members, this bouquet of humanity, did it again in this trial. They performed simple yet profound acts of courage. They told the truth, and they told the whole world the truth about what they saw. They were vindicated by the chief of police, by Minneapolis's longest serving police officer, and by many other police officers who stepped up and testified as to what they saw and to what they knew. What happened on that street was wrong. We owe it, and we owe our gratitude to fulfilling their, we owe them our gratitude for fulfilling their civic duty and for their courage in telling the truth. To countless people in Minnesota and across the United States who joined them in peacefully demanding justice for George Floyd, we say, all of us, thank you. In the coming days, more may seek to express themselves again through petition and demonstration. I urge everyone to honor the legacy of George Floyd by doing so calmly, legally, and peacefully. I urge everyone to continue the journey to transformation and justice. It's in your hands now. I also want to address the Floyd family, if I may. Over the last year, the family of George Floyd had to relive again and again the worst day of their lives when they lost their brother, their father, their friend. I'm profoundly grateful to them for giving us the time we needed to prosecute this case. They have shown the world what grace and class and courage really look like. Although a verdict alone cannot end their pain, I hope it's another step on the long path toward healing for them. There's no replacing your beloved Perry, or Floyd, as his friends called him, but he is the one who sparked a worldwide movement, and that's important. We owe our thanks to the men and women of the jury who gave many hours of their time and attention to carefully listening to the evidence, weighing the facts, rendering a verdict. They are regular people from all walks of life, a lot like that bouquet of humanity on that corner on May 25th and in that courtroom. They answered the call, and they served in a landmark trial. They now deserve to return to their lives. If they ask you to respect their privacy, we ask you to honor that request. I want to acknowledge the remarkable team that helped us prosecute the case. We put everything we had into this prosecution. We presented the best case that we could, and the jury heard us, and we're grateful for that. We had the sole burden of proof in the case, and history shows that winning cases like these can be difficult. I'm proud of every hour, every minute, and every ounce of effort we put in this case. And let me tell you, we spent many hours working on this case, did we not? We, week after week, committee meeting after committee meeting, this team never let up and it never quit. We fought every day and we did it together. The Attorney General's office together with the Hennepin County Attorney's office. Thank you, sir. And we did it together. I'm deeply grateful to everyone who worked on the case. Most of these folks will tell you it's a bad idea to put together a team of all Michael Jordans. Nobody would want to pass the ball. This team, that was their true strength, is sharing the load, passing the ball, understanding that all of us together are smarter than any one of us alone. And that worked. Although the verdict has been rendered, this is not the end. In the coming weeks, the court will determine sentencing, and later this summer, we expect to present another case. We will not be talking about that. This verdict reminds us how hard it is to make enduring change. And I just want to finish by sharing some important historical legacy, if you allow me. In 1968, the Kerner Commission was formed to investigate the causes of uprisings across major American cities. And a man named Dr. Kenneth Clark, a famous African-American psychologist, who, along with his equally accomplished psychologist wife, Mamie, contributed to compelling research in the Brown versus Board of Education case. And Dr. Clark testified at the Kerner Commission. And I want to quote you what he said. I read that report, the one in the 1919 riot in Chicago, and it was as if I were reading the report of investigating the committee of the Harlem riot in 1935, the report on investigating the Harlem riot in 1943, and the report of the McCone Commission on the Watts riot. I must say again in candor to you, the members of this commission, it's like a kind of an Alice in Wonderland with the same moving picture reshown over and over again, the same analysis, the same recommendation, and the same in action. Those are the words of Dr. Clark in 1968. Here we are in 2021. Here we are in 2021, still addressing the same problem. Since Dr. Clark testified, we have seen Rodney King, Abner Louima, Oscar Grant, Eric Garner, Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, Sandra Bland, Philando Castile, Laquan McDonald, Stephon Clark, Atiana Jefferson, Anton Black, Breonna Taylor, and now Dante Wright and Adam Toledo.
And Tamir Rice.
This has to end. We need true justice. That's not one case. That is a social transformation that says that nobody's beneath the law and no one is above it. This verdict reminds us that we must make enduring, systemic, societal change. More than a month ago, months before George Floyd was murdered, the Minnesota Public Safety Commissioner John Harrington and I released the recommendations of our working group on reducing deadly force encounters with law enforcement. What all of us in that working group, including law enforcement, wanted is for everyone to go home safe. Anytime someone doesn't, everyone's lives are changed forever. We need to use this verdict as an inflection point. What if we just prevented the problem instead of having to try these cases? We don't want any more community members dying at the hands of law enforcement and their families' lives ruined. We don't want any more law enforcement members having to face criminal charges and their families' lives ruined. We don't want any more communities torn apart. One way to prevent this is to get into a new relationship where we as a society re-examine the use of force and our old settled assumptions. I'm so proud of Chief Arredondo and the Minneapolis police officers who, by their testimony, said enough is enough. And another way to prevent it is by acknowledging and lifting up everyone's humanity, helping communities heal, and officers be well. Another way to prevent it is with accountability. Passing laws and instituting policies and training is important, but they must be more than words on paper, and there must be accountability for violating them. With this verdict, we have brought some accountability. Finally, this verdict demands us to never give up the hope that we can make enduring change. Generations of people said slavery would never end. Generations said Jim Crow would never end. Generations said women would never be equal to men. Generations said if you were different in any way, you could never be a full and equal member of our society. Today, we have to end this travesty of recurring, enduring deaths at the hands of law enforcement. Those beliefs are things we have to focus our attention on. And as I now do close, I just want to say to you, the work of our generation is to put unaccountable law enforcement behind us. It's time to transform the relationship between community and the people who are sworn to protect them from one that is mistrustful, suspicious, and in some cases terrifying, into one that is empathetic, compassionate, and affirming. That will benefit everyone, including police officers who deserve to serve in a profession that is honored, in departments where they don't have to worry about colleagues who don't follow the rules. Now that work is in your hands. The work of our generation is to put an end to the vestiges of Jim Crow and the centuries of trauma, and finally put an end to racism. We can end it. It doesn't have to be with us into the future if we decide now to have true liberty and justice for all. The work of our generation is to say goodbye to old practices that don't serve us anymore and to put them all behind us. One conviction, even one like this one can create a powerful new opening to shed old practices and reset relationships. So with that, I just want to say that I do hope that people step forward and understand that nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. You can do something the way like everyday people like Donald Williams and Genevieve Hansen and Christopher Martin and Charles McMillan and all those teenagers and young people stepped up and did something. You can do things like help pass the George Floyd Justice and Accountability Act. It's in your hands. Let's get the work done. And now I'd like to invite my friend and partner in justice, Michael Freeman, Hennepin County Attorney.
What do you think? Anybody?
Right.
I think we'll be hearing from the president pretty soon, I think.
But I hear too. It's great. I want to hear from the.
Yeah, I thought it was on point. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I want to hear from Blackwell and from the other gentleman who gave the closing, the first closing.
Well, as usual, they let the actual DA come out, and you know, who didn't actually try the case.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he was in the room for the final argument.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the DA, the older guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I hope it sticks. That's all I can say is I hope it sticks.
I haven't really seen any big trial.
Well, Steve in New York pointed out that he said, I think the settlement announced before the trial will be a basis for the appeal. Probably not a bad grounds either. There'd have to be some sort of a showing, though, that impacted, because a decision in a civil matter is not the same standard or burden. And I don't know. But if you tune in to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Newsmuck, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, it's going to be wall-to-wall Auntie Maxine all the time, because the dumbass maggots actually tried to do something to Auntie Maxine today. And they were told to shut the fuck up.
Oh, absurd. And they came within 6 months of censoring her.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, the Q, you know, representative from Cucumber Land, you know, doesn't, you know, they wouldn't vote to censure her. Of course, she ended up getting the Democrats stripped her of assignments and so forth. But, you know, if it hadn't, nothing would have happened. Marjorie, you know, Trader Top Green or whatever you want to call her.
And note coming in from Dave number 11, a reminder, racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. Will Smith. Dave number 11 says, only the first step into the light of day for actual race relations, the war cometh. Let's see. What about the trial of Chauvin's accomplices? Flavio asked, there were three other accomplices to the execution by pressing crushing of George Floyd. And that's what we were talking about earlier. I think their bowels have probably turned to water this afternoon. because they may not, you know, they did not testify against their co-defendant, as Billable Rick pointed out. So the government has no necessity or no inclination, I guess, to try to cut a deal with them unless the deal would be on the state's terms. Let me go over to the stress line because Silent R. Lamar is over there. I'm sorry. Lamar the Magnificent is over there. Lamar, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Just listening to you guys going back and forth. And I'm enjoying it. And like old Billable Rick, he's in my backyard. One day we got to get together, Billable.
Absolutely Magnificent. You got it. We'll go golfing or something, or go to a concert.
I do not. If I go with you guys golfing, I'm not going to be a caddy because I'm not picking up any clubs.
No, everybody gets a cart.
Oh yeah, it's
carts. Oh, I ride in the cart. I ride in the cart. I have no problems riding with the luggage in the back. I'm used to it.
Nah, sit up front and keep the cooler in the back.
There you go.
That's why I'm in the back. I'm with the cooler.
No,
so when they go to look and they sit there and say, man, we're a six pack short. I'm going to be looking up in the sky like I didn't know what's going on.
That's how I did golf back in the day. Drove the car, drank the beer.
That's what you do. It's the only way to do it.
Lamar, yeah, you know, I'm going to be witness to Bill's number three, ace number three.
I don't care. Yeah, I'll drink to every hole in one he makes and every bogey he gets. I'm going to drink twice.
Lamar, you'll have to tell me you weren't a six-pack down. You counted all sixes and you drank them.
Hey, I don't care. I mean, if push comes to shove, I'll bring my own.
Hey, speaking of hole-in-ones, my buddy who played a replay, I couldn't play again, played a replay and got a hole-in-one on hole 11. On the replay, like 130 or so, 115. He sent me a picture of the hole and, you know, down the hole. And
I'll put you this way. I'll play Billable on Tiger Woods golf on the EA or the golf on the video game. But actually picking up a club, nah.
I was going to say, I'd be curious to see if Chauvin's put in protective custody or general population awaiting trial sentencing.
Forget it.
Well, he's post-conviction.
No, still, they're going to protect. They're not going to let it be in the general population. Are you kidding?
He's a marked man. Someone will come after him if he's in general population right away.
I agree with that.
They don't want to form a cop. You know, I don't think so. He would deserve it, but kind of like Jeffrey Dahmer deserved it, you know?
Just had people over dinner, no big deal.
Exactly.
Oh, God damn it, Jeremy.
Like I said, as long as he's not on the menu, he's at the table.
Exactly. Oh, so that's quite a relief. I didn't expect it to be all guilty on all three counts. I expected a split verdict of some sort, actually. Like maybe third degree murder or something like that, which would have, you know, made people incensed, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was anticipating. Defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's Officer Potter charged with? Second degree manslaughter?
Yeah.
Which is essentially negligent homicide?
Yeah, that could go up based on the investigation, you know?
Yeah.
If you recall, in the Chauvin case originally, the charges were not as serious as they are now.
No, and that's going to be one of the grounds for appeal.
Can I interject something right quick?
Yeah, go ahead, Lamar.
Well, you know, I'm like this. I have relatives who are sheriffs in L.A. County. I mean, well, L.A. County sheriff and LAPD. And, you know, I'm not against police. I don't have no issue. But the woman who shot the young man.
Dante Wright.
I feel sorry for her because she was brought up in the propaganda that Negroes, black people, were vicious and scary. So she was scared when she squeezed off that round on him. Because if she wasn't scared, she wouldn't have made the comments that she did after. She knew she messed up and she was scared shitless after that. I see, like I myself, the law is real simple. You murder somebody, you go to jail. End of story. And you know, I feel for my cousins who are police officers, that one day they're going to walk into some type of bullshit where they're going to be accused of killing somebody who's white or getting killed themselves. I don't talk about them. I love them dearly. I don't talk about it because I have a love-hate relationship. I've been blessed as far as the police have been concerned because I've always been lucky. But I know one day I might not be lucky and run across the Chauvin.
It's a dice roll. Crapshoot.
Yeah. So I'm happy with the verdict. But see, to me, what will really make everything copacetic, if they start going after the people who have been let go or not followed up on civil rights violations. Because all of them are guilty of civil rights violations.
Well, let's. Billable Rick has experience in the federal judicial system. Billable, is there a statute of limitations on civil rights violations?
That's a good question. I think if it's murder, no, because that's what allowed years later, prosecutions of. I think the person who set off the bomb that killed the little girls in the Birmingham church.
Yeah, Doug Jones prosecuted that.
Yeah, he prosecuted that years after the fact. So there's no statute of limitations for murder, but I think there probably is
what happens administratively if one attorney general's DOJ looks at a case and says we decline to prosecute. Does that carry any water with the successor, or can they reopen and go in terms of what Lamar's talking about? Can they go back and reexamine?
They can. In fact, that's what was that's the trial of the Chicago Seven talked about the dynamic between the outgoing administration. Who was the AG under Carter?
It was the AG under LBJ.
Okay, yeah. Ramsey Clark was the outgoing AG. Basically determined that it was a police riot in Chicago, and so therefore no charges would be filed.
And future felon John Mitchell.
Yeah, future felon John Mitchell took over as attorney general and decided that, hey, we're going to get these people and we're going to find some charges to bring them up on, including, was it Bobby Seale? Yeah, Bobby Seale. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was
Seale.
It was totally ridiculous. He was there in Chicago for like 3 hours that day.
Yeah.
To give a speech. And they somehow linked him into a conspiracy.
Well, and what he said in the courtroom was absolutely true. They brought, they brought the scary black dude in. To terrify the jury.
That about it. You got it. So to answer your question, yes, changes of administrations can revisit maybe where prosecution was declined and change that decision. Where you see the federal government get involved in the civil rights arena generally is where the individual states fail to properly account for behavior of their officers. character by way of Fury left him off like happened in the Rodney King beating, or let's say they don't charge him at all, like happened in Louisville with a young lady who was shot.
Breonna Taylor. Or Tamir Rice.
Yeah. See, I mean, if there's so many.
Tamir, you know, less than a minute before they blew Tamir Rice away, and he's 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's so many countless, you know, victims of police aggression that it's almost like it's such a sad story, and it's just, it's hard to remember everybody. That's the sad thing about it, you know? I can't imagine.
Well, yeah, and you know, Keith Ellison did a little bit of it in his remarks, you know, going all the way back to Abner Louima, Amadou Diallo.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Emmett Till was killed by a vigilante mob, but, I mean, that wasn't much different from law enforcement back in those days, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. But the only thing different would be Emmett Till, the vigilante group, had no badges that were not condoned by the state. The state just ignored to prosecute.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking, I'm looking online if Biden or whoever wants to bring civil obedience throughout the state of America, they're going to have to go back and open up cases and convict these people. You know, I mean, to me, I'm going to be lenient. I'm going to be reasonable. Convict them for the murder of somebody. Based on their age, give them probation, give them a year, do something, but convict their ass for doing wrong. Because the problem is, the people who are below the level of impunity are getting punished. Those above are just walking away doing crazy stuff. And let's not just start with the police. Let's talk about people in power. Because, you know, we could solve a whole lot of stuff if they just convict Trump's stupid ass for what he has done.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they got to send him to jail like they did Al Capone on tax evasion, put his ass away.
Well, and frankly, I'm waiting because I get the press releases. I'm waiting for a word from 45office.com for Nitwit Nero to.
Yeah, they totally did Derek Chauvin wrong. He was a good hero in blue. He was part of the thin blue line. It was obviously a corrupt and crooked trial driven by the fake news media.
We'll check when the press release comes out. We'll see how close I was.
If he's stupid enough to say that, then we need to put his KKK ass away. Because, see, I'm like you. I'm one of the few people who knows his history. He stopped me from enjoying wrestling. When he got involved in the WWE, I stopped watching it because he's full of bullshit. And like they say, which is true, and nobody wants to admit it, everything that idiot touches, he kills.
The purity of the sport was gone, right, Lamar? Once
I enjoyed wrestling. Man, I love wrestling. I was a wrestling fan from Dick Lane, okay? 60s to the 70s. So I'm like, I loved it. I knew it was fake, but it was entertainment.
Yeah, it was.
But he came in and killed it. Like he's killed everything he has been involved in. And everybody who ties their little book to his dock, huh?
The USFL. Yeah.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch that, you know.
Oh, I was a big Blitz fan. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, I like Blitz. You're talking about the NFL. You're talking about the football.
USFL. Yeah,
football. I was more attuned to the European because I have friends that went to Europe to try to get back into the NFL. I wanted to go to Europe to come back into the NFL. But like I say, the Lord told me, you ain't playing no football. You ain't playing no sports. Because every time I try to get ready to make an audition for a tryout, I got hurt. So why not stop when you're ahead?
Oh, and let me go back to something. Flavio has provided us a little bit of information. Chauvin's accomplices will be tried in August, and they will be put on trial for everything but the third-degree murder charge. The other two charges, they face the same thing as accessories before the fact and accomplices.
You know who's going to get... I'm going to tell you right now, this is just my personal opinion. The person who's going to get the shit end of the stick is the Asian dude who was running interference.
Yeah.
The guy who was blocking everything, he's going to catch the brunt of everything because he knew what they were doing and he got in between because the firefighter and him had a verbal conflict. And they played it in the trial. When she asked to let me help, and he told her basically, shut the fuck up and stand on the side. Because if he had allowed her to go in, regardless if she was a firefighter or not, if he had allowed her to go over there and give assistance, Chauvin's ass would have been saved because under his custody, somebody came in to try to do CPR. His problem was he would not allow anybody to help him. And when the paramedics had to tell him to get your knee off his neck so we could put him on the gurney, that was a double stupid.
A double stupid. Hold on.
Well, I'm off. The way his knee on George Floyd's neck was like a dog with a bone that doesn't want to give it up. I mean, that was the mentality that he had, you know?
Yeah, I follow you there, Rick. I follow you fully because, like I was saying to myself, I talk to myself frequently because nobody else will listen to me. But
That's what I do when I'm off air.
I'm like this. The defense is up here trying to tell me I'm an engineer, but I'm not stupid. I'm an architect. I'm definitely not stupid. So you're trying to tell me you have a heart problem, and I hit you with my car at 75 miles driving on the sidewalk. You were going to die anyway because you had a heart condition, and the doctor only gave you 50 years to live.
Jesus, Lamar.
What does that shit boil down to?
No sense. Yeah, exactly.
That's if I've got angina and I jump out a 15-story window. What killed me, the angina?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a heart attack.
The doctor tells you you got 3 years to live, and you walk in front of a train. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's where the doctrine of superseding causation and intervening causation comes in. That's some of that fancy law school bullshit.
Go ahead, guys.
No, you could have terminal toenail cancer, and you got 6 years to live, but the intervening causation of the cop with his knee on your neck, you're right, Billable?
Was not a factor.
Got it. You got it. Yeah.
Hey, right. Robin?
Well, is that Steve?
You know, it is.
Is it his hand up, Robin?
I wanted to correct something Rick said. The case in Alabama with the kids, that was a criminal case. It was not a civil rights case.
Well, no, we're talking about criminal civil rights violations.
I understand. You would bring it, what Lamar is saying, you would bring it under Section 1983.
Right.
Which is, and there is statute of limitations. Unfortunately, it depends on the state. And generally speaking, it is the tort statute of limitations of a state. So, like, for instance, negligence in New York State is 3 years, so there's 3 years on the Section 1983 claim. It actually could be as short as – I've seen it as short as 1 year. I don't remember which state that is. But the statute itself does not have a statute of limitations, so the Supreme Court held that in a given state, the analog is the negligence statute, the negligence cause of action. At most, it's going to be 3 years.
And in many jurisdictions, 2.
Right.
Well, that's true, but using that reasoning, how did Doug Jones get a conviction?
Because it was a criminal case. He prosecuted.
It was freaking murder.
It was murder. They were never prosecuted.
Okay. So jeopardy never attached to them.
Well, it's not a matter of jeopardy. It's a matter of there was no statute. The statute of limitations for murder, there is none, generally. Section 1983, a civil rights case, which is, of course, a civil case, it's 3 years. Well, again, depending upon the state.
Right.
Well, at least now when we came to...
Okay, my question would be this. If they weren't charged for murder, and then somebody brings up a murder charge, wouldn't they still be within the limitations?
Probably. But that has nothing to do with the civil rights case.
Well, I understand that. But see, can't you transfer, if you bring up a murder case, and then they don't want to hear it, can you also then... fall back on the civil rights, because civil rights were violated.
Only if it's within the statute of limitations.
Right.
Now,
I got a question.
Yeah, Chris.
Steve in New York, Freddie Gray, the Freddie Gray case, can that be revisited?
When did that happen?
You know, that's a good question. How many years ago was that?
Yeah, that no.
I would say at least minimum 5 years.
Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah.
And let me bounce around a little bit. I see our buddy John is in the room. John, want to opine on anything?
Come on, John.
Unmute.
I'm not sure what's going on with him.
He's muted. He's muted for some reason.
He's got a weird symbol.
Uh-oh.
No, he's muted. John Force.
Sounds like a little faint robot noise.
No, that's Megan.
Oh.
I've gotten to where I recognize devices. You want to jump in, Megan?
Yep. I just want to say it's a very good day, because today is the day that I got my first COVID shot.
Yay!
And then,
congrats,
yep.
Yay.
As I was running, yep. And as when I heard about the verdict, so I'm very happy. It's a very happy day.
Excellent.
Yep. And I just want to tell everyone that I don't ever, 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 ever want to hear again how things can't be changed. Because we make enough noise, we can get this crap stopped.
Oh, she's preaching anti-vaccine now.
Huh?
You're preaching anti-vaccine. We got to make noise to make people respond.
Yep. Well, good. Then I didn't hear exactly what her comments were. All I heard was that she had ruffled Jim Jordan's feathers. So I was rooting her on anyway. So, yeah, that's what she said then. Yeah.
Val Demme's got on to Jim Jordan today, too.
Yeah, I got that clip. That's a beautiful thing.
You want to play it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward here. There it is. So the backgrounder is that there was a hearing in House Judiciary today. And remember, Jim Shorts Jordan plans on being the chairman of House Judiciary if the Republicans can retake the House in 2022. If that is not enough to motivate every voter in this country of any decency to vote, you know, to make sure the Democrats hold the House, I don't know what is. But he was, of course, running his mouth, and he's, you know, he's been butthurt ever since he was told to shut his mouth by Auntie Maxine. And so today he decided he'd see if he could get away with his shit with Jerry Nadler.
Back for what purposes the gentlelady from Florida seek recognition?
Move to strike the last word.
Gentlelady is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I want to make it quite clear that this amendment is completely irrelevant. I served as a law enforcement officer for 27 years. It is a tough job. And good police officers deserve your support. You know, it's interesting to see my colleagues on the other side of the aisle support the police when it is politically convenient to do so. Law enforcement officers risk their lives every day. They deserve better, and the American people deserve. I have the floor, Mr. Jordan.
Lady has
what? Did I strike a nerve?
Law enforcement officers deserve better
than to be utilized as pawns.
The gentlelady.
And you and your colleagues are ashamed of yourself.
The gentlelady will suspend and the clock will be stopped. I want to admonish members. They must not interrupt someone who has the time.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a
question?
You simply
can't shout out. If you think that someone is saying...
I agree.
Mr. Jordan, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. You know nothing about what law enforcement officers
do. I know about my motive.
And you're using them as pawns because it serves your ridiculous political purpose.
Now, everyone must suspend. I am making the point. No one may shout out when someone else has the time. Not Mr. Gohmert.
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Not Mr. Jordan. Nobody.
Not Mr. Cicilline.
Not Miss
Demings.
He didn't do that. But nobody did.
Not Mr. Jordan.
Not Miss
nobody.
Cicilline. Okay, nobody. I agree with that. But
then
I have a question.
How do we... Everybody...
I have a question.
I will simply... There is no question.
Same question.
Nobody may shout out.
When you give a speech, Mr. Chairman, about motives and questioning motives, and then our motives are questioned, how do we address that?
The rules allow a request for words
when it's inquiry. I have live and die, and you know nothing about that, and to utilize them as political pawns.
Mr. Chairman, I have a point of inquiry.
Off.
People will address comments to the chair.
Mr. Chairman.
The rules do not permit shouting out when someone else has the time. The only thing you may do when someone else has the time is you may raise a point of order if you think it proper, and the chair will then rule on the
point of order. Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman will state his point of order.
So you gave us a lecture on people questioning our motives. When someone questions our motives, how do we address it when they're in the act of questioning our motives?
That is not a point of order.
Yes, it is.
That is not a point
of order. Mr. Chairman, may I continue, please?
That is not a point of order. Ms. Demings has the time. And the clock will resume. General Eddie's recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to hear that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle are on the side of law enforcement now. Because I don't know where my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been over the last 4 years, including on January 6th, when police officers who protect us every day were fighting for their lives because of the big lie that was told. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle were silent. As one person after another person took the microphone and said, go down there and engage in combat. Fight like hell. They used the bicycle racks as deadly missiles against the law enforcement officers that you all say you care about so much. And thank you, Mr. Cicilline, because you're absolutely right. The only person who voted to support local governments and pass legislation to support local governments that includes law enforcement were the Democratic members on this side of the aisle. But now today, You support law enforcement. Well, that's I'm delighted to know that. But don't support them when it's politically convenient for you to do so. Support them when they're under attack by people fighting them and spraying them and knocking them to the ground and beating them with poles, but carrying the American flags and pipes.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Chairman, I thank you, and I yield back.
The gentlelady yields back.
Jesus. She's a little hot. And it is.
Can someone just run over, turn Jim Jordan over on his stomach and beat him until he's crying, please?
Seriously. Oh, I think that's what happened there. And poor Louis Asparagus Gohmert was done having a big old butt hurt.
Oh, what?
Well, what the context of this is that she was calling them out for supporting the insurrection, and then suddenly ballyhooing and bellering and grunting and hooting about how they support the law enforcement.
She just said nothing but truth. No lie detected.
But see, here's the thing. The Jim Shorts Jordans and the Louis Asparagus Gohmerts of the world support the Derek Chauvins of the world. The Capitol Police that held that did their dead level best to hold off a goddamn attack on the Capitol. Nah, they don't support those guys so much.
Well, did someone read today on Google News that Sicknick died, quote unquote, of natural causes?
Yeah, I'm still trying to sort that out.
Yeah. Didn't we just say that? Somebody hasn't. I mean, didn't we just cover that?
Sparky, you had something? Somebody said, may I interject?
That was me.
Oh, okay. Lamar.
Lamar.
Wasn't me. Well, I'm fixing a problem in the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Call the guy.
Yep, call the guy.
It's really funny. It's funny. You guys are talking about a situation that, you know, I teach at the high school. And I had a Hispanic child who was prejudiced as hell. And he got all, and he was talking, I told him straight up, I said, dude, you're prejudiced. I said, who do you like, your mama or your father? He said, I like my daddy. I said, okay, I'll talk to your mother because I know your dad is a racist asshole. And he got to go on. I said, wait a minute, dude. I said, it's like this. From first grade to the 10th grade, all my girlfriends were Mexican. I like Mexican women. Okay, that's one of my fallouts. I have two cousins. Well, more than two cousins. But I have a cousin who has a Mexican wife, and 13 kids. I have another nephew who has a Mexican girlfriend, and he has one child. So you can't tell me I don't like Mexicans. But the point was that he was raging and hooping and hobbling like that. I said, dude, you don't even know nothing. I'm from the 60s. I know racism. And what they were talking about right now was prevalent to what I've been arguing about for the longest. Val Demings told the truth. They're only interested in what serves them at the moment. They don't care about police people. And it was really funny because it was just weird that they're talking about law and order. How can you talk about law and order when you keep constantly breaking the law and not holding up any order? And I'm like, the way I felt about it was, here you have a black woman speaking her mind, speaking her piece, and standing up for those who cannot speak for themselves, and they want to shut her down. And I'm as a colored person in America. I know my place, but my place doesn't have to always be squeezed into a smaller space. And that's where they're going to find we're tired of it. 400 years of trying to please you, and we still can't please you, there's going to come a time where we're going to stop trying to please, and we're going to stand up. And it's like I've told many people, here's the problem. You'd say, okay, the black population is 13% of the population. That's 13% against white. Then you say the white population to Mexican population is 60%. Then you go Asian percent. But you know what? What happens when the others decide to unite against the one opposition? And the only thing that scares me that nobody wants to talk about, this is why I always preach, education needs to be taught. Our history needs to be taught. Because there's many a black young man who want to go out and kill white people. And I have talked them off the ledge. I said, son, because they're all my children when I go to work. They're all my kids. I say, son, who fought for you during the Civil War? It was white people who were fighting for you. In 65, there were white people who fought for you. So you cannot hate all white people. You must let them show the whites of their eyes, like Washington said. Do not fire until you see the whites of their eyes. There is a purpose behind that. Whites of your eyes means you're close enough to be seen. Whites of their eyes let you know the intent in their hearts. I have nothing against no white person, but if you come up talking racist stuff to me, now I know who you are and I got my eye on you. You will never, as long as I am black, get behind me. Because you're not going to stab me with a knife, because that's the part I get a kick out of. You stab me in the back with a knife, and then you tell me, well, the knife is 18 inches long. I only stab you 6 inches. But the bullshit is you stab me.
Yeah, that's a distinction without a difference. Let's pop over and check in with Jeremy. He's got his hand up.
I was going to say, we got two good stories. One of Chauvin today, and yesterday, the police officer, who we all saw on video, shot the man in the park while running away from him four times in the back and killed him and then tried to say that he stole his taser from him. The judge upheld his sentence and said, go back to fucking jail. 20 years is what you got.
Yeah, that was in South Carolina. Yeah. I mean, they do get... I thought you were going to bring up the other best piece of news of the day. You remember the clip
Ted Nugent
remember the clip I played of Ted Nugent talking about what a scam COVID is and how he was, you know, well, we're going to be playing at the bar in Waco. Well, he's tested positive for the Rona because the goddess of irony is a good goddess. And in a Facebook video, you know, just like the last little bit of crazy that he ran. He talked about, well, having the Rona. Oop, turn on the audio, Robin.
Right there, and Uncle Ted is back on Facebook Live. I'm coming on strong Facebook Live. Look at that beautiful Serengeti. I don't know if you can see, but there's a bunch of black buck antelope out there. How do this? Can you zoom in? I don't think you can
zoom in. No, Uncle Ted, you can't zoom in with your Facebook.
We have much spirit here at the Nugent epicenter of shit-kicker freedom, goodwill, and decency, and we're about to come on with the definitive We the People campfire, the spirit campfire. How y'all doing out there, huh? I got quite the announcement to make. Wait till you hear what I have to say. Here's our...
Skip a bit, brother.
There's a certain glow, huh? Hey, Planet Earth, my name is Ted Nugent.
I'm a dick.
And we're about to do the Ted Nugent Spirit Campfire with John Brankus in about a half an hour, something like that, 9 p.m. Eastern time sharp. And I got a 59 Les Paul fired up, ready to rock, Doc. But I have an announcement to make. Today is the 19th, is that right? The 19th of April, 2021, during clusterfuck pandemic, Chinese virus attack 21. I was tested positive today. I got the Chinese shit. Actually, it's the only thing I don't have is the shit. Boy, I got a stuffed up head. Body aches. My God, what a pain in the ass. I literally could hardly crawl out of bed the last few days. But I did. I crawled. I don't look like I've been crawling, do I? So I was officially tested positive for COVID-19 today. But here's a great, and we'll go into the gory detail of the great phenomena of the Chinese virus. So,
yeah, the Chinese, you racist piece of shit. And to think it took John Prine and's going to leave him. That's true. Great white supremacist.
I said, Doc, all right, you want me to get tested? I haven't been tested, haven't taken the vaccine, so nobody knows what's in it. Actually, some people do know what's in it. And if you can't even honestly answer our questions of exactly what's in it.
Well, what's in it, Ted? Little itty-bitty teeny-tiny Bill Gates barcodes that he can read with the fucking 5G. That's one in it, you dumb, stupid piece of... As Matt in San Francisco points out, and to think, that guy has people that work for him. How broke and desperate do you have to be to take a job working for that crazy piece of trash? Cray-cray. And, well, you be of like mind.
And why are you testing it on human beings and forcing it upon people in such a short period of time? Instead of answering those questions, I said to the doctor, hey, Doc, if I test positive, what will you do different if I test negative? All right, I'll repeat that question. Hey, Doc.
Apparently it's gone to his brain. But, yes, the goddess of irony is a good goddess. And after declaring that it's all a fraud and all a fake and all a hoax, the Nuge has it.
And there was much rejoicing.
How do you that doesn't exist? How do you catch something that doesn't exist? By his logic. I'm confused.
Logic has... Logic has nothing to do with it. I have one question for Mr. Nugent. Real simple. Can you see your toes when you look down, or do you have to bend at the waist? That's all I got to say.
Well, let's just put it this way. He doesn't go on stage in a loincloth anymore.
I wanted you to run with that, Robin.
Lee in New York says, what's in the vaccine? Tell Ted it's MSG. Wait a minute.
Oh.
He shouldn't be so cocky because COVID-19 could get a stranglehold on him after all.
I got a hold on you. Okay, I follow that song rhythm.
Did he catch up? I thought he was going to ask the doctor how much does it cost for a bleach enema.
Somebody get some aquarium cleaner to Ted, quick.
I love it.
He sounds positive, but that can change real quick.
And, you know, I can laugh and joke because I shared this with you, Robin. I suffered from the COVID. I caught it. Through my wife, because she works for MTA. She brought it home. And it spread through our family like wildfire. But the only thing good about it, we were all very well and in good health. And the only thing I was worried about was my mother and my mother-in-law, because they were in their 80s. We did the 14-day thing. But see, in my case, it was funny as hell. I got the notification that I had been involved or I've been in contact with somebody with it. But here's the little thing that I didn't tell anybody. It was 14 days after they informed me that I actually started showing symptoms. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was weird because my wife had already gone through it and she was over it. Everybody else was through it. I started showing symptoms and then my mother got it. She started showing symptoms. And she was 85. So, you know, I'm scared shitless. I done killed my mother. So
oh,
I
Jesus,
was
Lamar.
Really, I was really beside myself. Hell, I'm like this. My mother's in better condition than I am. I ain't ashamed to say it. If I had to run to the end of the corner against her, I would quit, just pay you the bet and just go on about my business. Cause I get about 50 yards away and I'll be wheezing like there's no tomorrow. I may even lay down and look up in the sky and say, God, don't take me now. I want to live a couple of more days. Nobody gets that joke. Okay. I got it.
Just kind of hard to laugh about the Rona.
Well, you know what? There's a bright side to everything. And if you survive a hellfire bullet fight and you come out with nicks and scrapes, you can talk about how sad it was, but then you can joke about the joke. You can joke about it because just think about it. As long as you don't forget and acknowledge the people who did not make it, that's the key. I look at all the people who have died, all the stuff that the Republicans have tried to say about, oh, this is a joke. It's a joke. It's okay. It's a joke. When your ass get it, hopefully, I don't want to be satanic or want to wish evil on nobody. But if you don't die from it, then you know how serious it is. Because one thing, what it was, I had asthma when I was young. Thank God to Nixon and the EPA and the clean air thing, I overcome asthma. But it attacks the respiratory function of your body. I mean, walking 50 feet became an issue. I had to walk 25 or 10, rest, get my breath, and then walk again. And then I had to mentally tell myself, you can beat this, you can beat this, you can beat this. And I won. I won that battle. So I like joking about it. But see, I can joke about it because I've been there. I know what it can do, and I know what it will do. And if somebody tells me, I've been told I got the COVID, I'm going to tell them off the top. Number one, what you need to do is regulate your physical movement. Secondly, do not avoid eating. You must eat, because if you don't eat, you're going to perish. And I went through that. Because there was one time I went 3 damn days not eating. I had to force myself to eat a fruit cup. Because I realized, being an athlete, I realized I'm not getting no nourishment. My body is starving. And it's going to turn on itself if I don't do something. I had the fruit cup, and later on that day, I had a cup of soup. I had some chicken noodle soup. Oh, man, that's a miracle drug there, chicken noodle soup. That shit's amazing. But I'm going to be real with you. COVID is no joke.
No, it is not.
And if you don't tend to what you need to do, you will die. Especially if you're not at an ICU unit. And see, my daughter, who is a nurse, in the military, she was having shit fits that we had contracted the virus.
Well, it's terrifying, Lamar.
Everything is terrifying. I mean, well, as a black person, terrifying is part of the living life. I never know when I walk out the door and a cop may say, you're guilty of something. I don't know where. I'll find something. And then I'm laying on the concrete with a bullet hole in my ass. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm corny that way.
No, that's all right.
But
that's all right.
It's real. Living in America while being black is nerve-wracking. Because, you know, I was listening this week, and I've heard on three occasions some 61-year-old white boy, I'm 62, but some 61-year-old white boy had a fisticuff with a cop and drug his punk ass in his car several miles, and then he gets to walk into the precinct arrested. Tamir Rice got gunned down playing in the park with no warning whatsoever. And then people wonder why black people have issues. Well, if you don't want us to hate you, stop killing us. I'm going to say this. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the whole black population. I'm speaking for myself. I don't want nothing from you but to be left alone. When I say left alone, stop putting up barriers to keep me down. Stop letting me be the best that I can be. You tell me in the military, join the Army, be the best you can be. Well, that's some bullshit. If I'm going to be the best I can be in the Army, why can't I be the best I can be not being in the Army?
You know, Lamar, these white wingers, they think that you want special rights. That you and Robin want special rights. And Jeremy wants special rights. They think you all want special rights. When they have no, I mean, it just goes way above their head that they've had special rights for 400 years. At least.
Well, you know what? I beg to differ, but I'm begging to differ on a different ground that you're thinking of. Yes, I want special rights. Robin wants special rights. You know what that special right is? To live as a human fucking being.
Yeah, and to them, those are special rights.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's different I heard, the way it's been for 400 years. Yeah. It's a standard deviation from the norm.
It was like this. I teach at a high school. I watched my high school go from 80% or 90% African-American to 80% Hispanic. Doesn't bother me. We're all human beings, but I had this conversation with every child. And let me tell you, I deal with 165 human beings a year for 180 damn days. And I must train them to survive out there in the wilderness. That's a hell of a job. I have Hispanic kids and young men coming to me, telling me stuff that they won't tell their mother or their father.
Well, it's a good thing that they can.
I feel like a lawyer sometimes, like Boba Rick. I can't tell you this because it's confidential information. Shit.
Teacher, I'm like, student, damn. Confidence, right?
But we don't get treated like we're supposed to be treated. We are the parents when the parents are not there. Mm-hmm. And somewhere between Reagan and Clinton, teachers' positions as being counselors, the other parent, were thrown out to sea. I can't talk to you or I can't console you because I run the risk of I'm trying to be familiar with the kid. That's not your job. Okay, excuse me. I got a kid here.
Well, okay. Lamar, let me ask you a question. Because you are an attorney.
I try to be, but sometimes I want to revert back to being a lizard.
Well, but you're an educator.
Okay.
What do you think of the law in the state of Alabama and other states that says if a child comes out to their teacher as LGBTQ+, that teacher then has to rat them out to their parents?
I would tell them to kiss my black ass and not let me know first so I won't wipe my ass with toilet tissue.
There is no way in the fuck.
Yeah, that is a cow.
There's no way in fuck. There's no way in the fuck I'm going to ruin an individual life behind some bullshit about some paranoid asshole white people who have sexuality up their nose and coming out their asshole. When you're going to reprimand and kick a 5-year-old kid out of kindergarten or first grade because she wants to hold hands with her girlfriend, excuse me, what fucking year were you born? Girls have been... go ahead.
I have a question about you, about black culture. Half my family's black. I've told that many times, so this is not disrespectful to you or anyone else, but what is it with, it seems like African-American culture, usually in rap music, I'm a rap fan, Tupac, biggest fan in the world. What is it with their seemed fear of gay people? It comes up quite often, and I've always thought they see it as a weakness, even though it isn't.
Okay. I'm going to be blunt with you. That is a fear of... Okay,
I'm doing fine.
You guys remember...
A Skype group meeting over on the Horn. So, at the same time, you're doing your show. We're talking about the same thing.
Sparky, you're on both air, I guess.
We've got a guy from L.A., Lamar, who's...
Hey, Sparky!
So I just thought I'd stop over.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
To answer your question, you have to understand the history of America. That's where everybody is lacking, the history of America. White people, I'm not saying you. I'm going to answer your question, help you out based on my knowledge. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about my knowledge. Every black child is brought up in the church. We are seriously brought up in the church. We stop going to church around the age of 17 because we see the hypocrisy in it. But we still believe in the church. Okay, when white people could classify Negroes as 3/4 of a human being, refuse to acknowledge black people as human beings, and will get upset if you shot their horse or their dog, but wouldn't say shit for shooting a Negro, that's the problem. Black people understand the Bible said no man should sleep with another man. End of story. But then again, people like me and you have this issue.
Doesn't actually say that, but go ahead.
I'm putting in layman's term, okay? I want everybody to follow.
Yeah. It's horseshit.
But see,
call it what it is.
The basic
doesn't even come close to saying
it's a bunch of horseshit. But see, it's stated in the Bible, no man should sleep with a man.
It isn't, Lamar. It isn't.
Huh? It isn't in the Bible at all.
It's not there.
Just like Jesus never said bags, he said figs.
No. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about Old Testament.
Yeah, and it's in the Old Testament, and that is not what... One, it's poorly translated from Hebrew into Elizabethan English. And two...
I agree with that.
And two, that ain't what it says.
But, you know, I'm going to put it to you this way.
It is preached that way, Lamar.
Okay, fine. It's preached that way.
In white and black churches alike.
Here's the problem that I always had. Why did the king of every continent that had a rulership put the gay people in charge of his queen?
Well, that didn't happen either. I think what you're talking about... What you're talking about...
Oh, you're going to pick a fight now.
No, I'm not going to pick a fight. I'm going to tell you what it is. What you're talking about is the practice in Asian societies like the ancient Persian, in which the guardians of the harem, were eunuchs, and that is of course males who had their testicles removed, because that way the king knew that his kids, or that when his wives got pregnant, they would be getting pregnant by him, and not by their guards or guardians. So
okay.
Yeah, that's not gay people.
Well,
that's eunuchs.
Well, okay, let me put it to you this way: who would you feel safer leaving your wife with, a heterosexual man or a gay man?
That's not up for discussion.
You're going to sidestep.
No, I'm not going to sidestep. I'm not going to sidestep it, Lamar. I'm going to you're citing history, and I'm going to insist upon an actual recitation of historical fact.
Robin. I am not going to argue with anybody. I am not a historian. I am a architectural, residential, drafting, mechanical engineer. I stay in my lane.
Right, and that's why I was sorting this out. But your larger point is absolutely correct, and that is that in these fundamentalist churches, and that is the kind of religion that slave society passed down to, slave owning society allowed enslaved peoples to have, for the most part. Of course, there were some. You got to remember the slave. You got to remember, for instance, the slave plantation in Maryland that was run by the Roman Catholic priests who ran Georgetown College back then. They baptized the slaves as good Roman Catholics and then literally sold them down the river to Louisiana. Mostly it is a fundamentalist version or a fundamentalist brand of religion that was heavily focused on obedience to authority, but they also carried along those ancient misapplied bigotries. And a lot of faiths have had to evolve and repent. The Episcopalians, among others.
I'm not arguing. Okay, my religion is based. I am Episcopalian, the E one, the Episcopal, Methodist, and Catholic, and I have Baptist. All those. I was answering the gentleman's question. You took it to a higher level.
No, I just corrected him. This statement of fact.
Okay. He has a more grasp of what's going on in the black culture. Why he was having a problem? I would like for him to come back online to say that the conversation between me and you help him any.
I didn't mean to start this. I'm gonna just be quiet now.
Jeremy.
I was asking an honest question.
It was honestly asked, and
we answered it honestly.
But the bottom line. Nah, I'm going to stay out of it.
Well, he asked me a question about Well, that's the problem with old time religion. It's like I have said, me and my mother have this argument because she is a Bible thumper. I keep telling her, man wrote the shit. I don't say shit to her. You know how to read.
No, you don't do that.
With, when you rely on somebody else writing some shit that you put down, they're going to tweak your shit to accommodate their feelings on the shit.
Their bigotries.
Yes. I'm like this. If you're going to show me some shit that Christ said, I'm going to see it in his handwriting.
Well, why, okay, so Silent R, why do you think it was, for instance, that the passages from Paul's letters where he says, slaves, obey your masters as the church obeys Christ. That was preached all over the South as a justification for slavery.
Okay, but the problem is this. Okay, here's the problem.
I'm sorry, what, okay. Jeremy? What, Jeremy?
I've said for years that the Bible is a historic game of telephone. It's tweaked to people's what they want it to say.
Yeah.
But if you look at things like the Dead Sea Scrolls, they said the exact opposite of what our Bible says now. In fact, they're the ones that kind of hinted that Jesus was probably married if he really existed.
Or gay.
Or gay, yes.
You know, come on. Unmarried, unmarried all the way up to the day he died, ran around with a bunch of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
He was loyal. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I'm just being facetious as I am. But it's
never
like
had sex.
Said.
Never had sex with a woman.
Well, we don't know that.
No. That is the received teaching of the church. Baptist,
yeah,
Catholics, Greek Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Methodist, Presbyterians. Jesus never got laid.
We can't soil his image of being a
he did, however, but we do, however, have reason to think that he hung out with a bunch of guys in a guys-only commune taking naked baths with them.
Excuse me.
Those are the Essenes on the Dead Sea.
Hey, Robert. How do you think we got the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Well, he made Jesus only made it to 33, so.
Okay, hey guys, they added some years later. They exaggerated.
I saw a program on the Science Channel, or maybe it was the History Channel, or the History of Science Channel, where they did a DNA swab of Mary Magdalene's clitoris, and there's no Jesus' DNA is not there.
I'm sure you did.
I correct you. Your first mistake was watching the History Channel. I think it was based on history.
Right. Yeah, that's like watching the Discovery Channel and waiting for the discoveries.
I'm like this. Give me Warner Brothers. I learn more from the cartoons than I find in real life. Okay, but it's serious. You know,
it's like a friend of mine posted on Facebook a book of ancient spells and incantations, and one of the things there was, you can fascinate a woman with a piece of cheese. I love
since
that.
Since we're talking about cartoons, I thought I'd mention everyone that Comcast took the Cartoon Network out of a standard package and put it in the highest tier. I'm not even kidding.
Bastards.
Why they did that?
Has to pay $300 a month to get the channel.
Well, when I saw that line about you can fascinate a woman with a piece of cheese, I immediately flashed to the Warner Brothers cartoons where it's the honeymooners done as little mice.
And one of
the girl mice says, "Cheese, I simply adore cheese." Yes.
That was Ralph Cramden's wife. Okay. Like I say, you know what's really bad, what's really sad, Robin? When I was growing up ahead of you, I'm 7 years older than you because you were born in 63.
Right.
The cartoons that they had out were educational, and the dumbification of Americans have gone to cartoons.
Well, that was a function of economics. Those cartoons were run as shorts in front of the feature films, and they were written that, you know, kids could be humored by the slapstick comedy, but they were written for adults also for adults. Sitting in the movie theater.
I get a kick out of my 22-year-old son. We were watching Foghorn Leghorn. And Leghorn came up there and said, I know when to shut up. When somebody tell me to shut up, I'll shut up. My father told me to shut up one time. I damn near starved to death because I wouldn't say nothing to him. I like to fell on the floor laughing. Because I got that joke.
Yeah, and the dog comes up and whacks the hell out of him and says, shut up, shutting up.
By the way, the
Horn's den mother, Matt in San Francisco, says, if Jesus was gay, it wouldn't have been the Last Supper. It would have been the Last Brunch.
I'm not going to touch that one. I'm not touching that one.
Good one.
I am not going to touch that one. I got to get on the side of my bed already tonight and pray for forgiveness. I love you dearly, but you know what? Joke.
Did you see fucking Chauvin out in the handcuffs? Did you see that? They just showed that.
Yeah, the thing is, he stood up without being told to. He stuck his hands behind his back without being told to. And I noticed Charlie Pierce had already put his column up about it, and he saw the same thing I did. Those shifty eyes.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Those beady little rat pig eyes.
He was looking for a way to get out. How the fuck do I get out of this?
Fuck! And there was I'm fucked.
Yeah.
I thought I put him by the tailpipe defense was going to work. I mean, Jesus Christ, really? That's the one that blew my mind out of the defense. Oh, no, he didn't kill him by kneeling on his neck. He killed him by making him breathe the tailpipe of the cruiser. Fuck me. You don't have a defense when you're down to that.
Excuse me, Bob, Robin.
He was probably thinking, can Trump still give me a pardon?
I'll go with that one.
He was on the defense presented their case. They thought they were just going to sail right on through with him being white man and having a badge and gun.
Yeah.
And then, so we can blame Black Lives Matter and Antifa when shit goes sideways in Minneapolis. No big deal. And the order remains the world remains as it was.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be White Lives Matter protests?
God, I hope not. It's going to be interesting to see what the white supremacist does tonight.
Uh-huh. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if some shit burns in Minneapolis tonight. And it'll be the same thing as it was. It'll be the same thing as it was at the beginning. Remember the AutoZone store? Remember the white supremacist.
The white man, agent provocateur, Robin.
The funny thing is, Chauvin took off his mask yesterday so they could see his face and look him in the eyes.
Yeah, there wasn't anything to see there. That's the problem.
That was a ceramic pants. I'm sorry, no one got it.
I want to inject something right here. Being of my age and what I've been through, I am quite militant, and the Black Lives Matter verbiage, I am all for it. But you know what? Sugarcoating a serious incident does not work with people who do not see the seriousness. Now, I'm going to say this just one. I'm going to say this one time, and I'm going to say it on air. I'm going to offend some people. Go ahead.
Go, Sparky.
The vice president's speaking right now, and then President Biden's going to speak.
Okay, let's check in with that. Thanks, Sparky.
Go for it, Bob. Are we on?
Yeah, well, just hold on, hold on, hold on.
Okay, I'm going. Okay.
Here we go.
Be valued in our education system, in our healthcare system, in our housing system, in our economic system, in our criminal justice system, in our nation. Full stop. Because of smartphones, so many Americans have now seen the racial injustice that Black Americans have known for generations. The racial injustice that we have fought for generations, that my parents protested in the 1960s, that millions of us, Americans of every race, protested last summer. Here's the truth about racial injustice. It is not just a Black America problem or a people of color problem. It is a problem for every American. It is keeping us from fulfilling the promise of liberty and justice for all. And it is holding our nation back from realizing our full potential. We are all a part of George Floyd's legacy. And our job now is to honor it and to honor him. Thank you. And now it is my great honor to introduce the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Today, a jury in Minnesota found former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty on all counts in the murder of George Floyd last May. It was a murder in the full light of day, and it ripped the blinders off for the whole world to see the systemic racism the Vice President just referred to. The systemic racism is a stain on our nation's soul. The knee on the neck of justice for Black Americans. Profound fear and trauma. The pain, the exhaustion that Black and brown Americans experience every single day. The murder of George Floyd launched a summer of protest we hadn't seen since the civil rights era in the 60s. Protests that unified people of every race and generation in peace and with purpose to say enough, enough, enough of this senseless killings. Today, today's verdict is a step forward. I just spoke with the governor of Minnesota who thanked me for the close work with his team. I also spoke with George Floyd's family again. Remarkable family of extraordinary courage. Nothing can ever bring their brother, their father back. But this can be a giant step forward in the march toward justice in America. Let's also be clear that such a verdict is also much too rare for so many people. It seems like it took a unique and extraordinary convergence of factors. A brave young woman with a smartphone camera. A crowd that was traumatized. Traumatized witnesses. A murder that lasts almost 10 minutes in broad daylight for ultimately the whole world to see. Officers standing up and testifying against a fellow officer instead of just closing ranks, which should be commended. A jury who heard the evidence, carried out their civic duty in the midst of an extraordinary moment, under extraordinary pressure. For so many, it feels like it took all of that for the judicial system to deliver a just basic accountability. We saw how traumatic and exhausting just watching the trial was for so many people. Think about it. Those of you who are listening, think about how traumatic it was for you. You weren't there. You didn't know any of the people. But it was difficult, especially for the witnesses who had to relive that day. It's a trauma. On top of the fear so many people of color live with every day when they go to sleep at night and pray for the safety of themselves and their loved ones. Again, as we saw in this trial from the fellow police officers who testified, most men and women who wear the badge serve their communities honorably. But those few who fail to meet that standard must be held accountable, and they were today. One was. No one should be above the law. And today's verdict sends that message. But it's not enough. We can't stop here. In order to deliver real change and reform, we can and we must do more to reduce the likelihood that tragedies like this will ever happen and occur again. To ensure that black and brown people, or anyone, so they don't fear the interactions with law enforcement, that they don't have to wake up knowing that they can lose their very life in the course of just living their life. They don't have to worry about whether their sons or daughters will come home after a grocery store run, or just walking down the street, or driving their car, or playing in the park, or just sleeping at home. And this takes acknowledging and confronting head-on systemic racism and the racial disparities that exist in policing and in our criminal justice system more broadly. You know, state and local government and law enforcement needs to step up, but so does the federal government. That's why I've appointed the leadership of the Justice Department that I have, that is fully committed to restoring trust between law enforcement and the community they are sworn to serve and protect. I have complete confidence in the Attorney General, General Garland's leadership and commitment. I've also nominated two key Justice Department nominees, Vanita Gupta and Kristen Clark, who are eminently qualified, highly respected lawyers who have spent their entire careers fighting to advance racial equity and justice. Vanita and Kristen have the experience and the skill necessary to advance our administration's priorities to root out unconstitutional policing and reform our criminal justice system, and they deserve to be confirmed. We also need Congress to act. George Floyd was murdered almost a year ago. There's meaningful police reform legislation in his name. You just heard the vice president speak of it. She helped write it. Legislation to tackle systemic misconduct in police departments, to restore trust between law enforcement and the people they're entrusted to serve and protect. But it shouldn't take a whole year to get this done. In my conversations with the Floyd family, I spoke with them again today. I assure them we're going to continue to fight for the passage of the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act so I can sign into law as quickly as possible. And there's more to do. Finally, it's the work we do every day to change hearts and minds as well as laws and policies. That's the work we have to do. Only then will full justice and full equality be delivered to all Americans. And that's what I just discussed with the Floyd family. The guilty verdict does not bring back George. But through the family's pain, they're finding purpose. So George's legacy will not be just about his death, but about what we must do in his memory. I also spoke to Gianna, George's young daughter, again. When I met her last year, I've said this before, at George's funeral, I told her how brave I thought she was. And I sort of knelt down to hold her hand. I said, "Daddy's looking down on you. He's so proud." She said to me then, I'll never forget it, "Daddy changed the world." Well, I told her this afternoon, "Daddy did change the world." Let that be his legacy. a legacy of peace, not violence, of justice.
And let's see. Unfortunately, I have to jump through some more flaming barbed wire hoops to keep it going. You guys there?
Yeah, Robin. Got ads to go through.
Yeah. I'm here. Yeah, and I gotta sign in with my freaking cable company thingy, pain in the ass. I thought it was.
Generic Bitcoin.
Split cannot lose that property. Okay, let's talk about it on Monday. Because I know you're paying on the property debt left me in the lead.
Hey, Lamar, you're
the American ideal.
Okay, here we go.
So we can't leave this moment or look away thinking our work is done. We have to look at it. We've looked as we did for those 9 minutes and 29 seconds. We have to listen. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Those are George Floyd's last words. We can't let those words die with him. We have to keep hearing those words. We must not turn away. We can't turn away. We have a chance to begin to change the trajectory in this country. It's my hope and prayer that we live up to the legacy. May God bless you, and may God bless George Floyd and his family. Thank you for taking the time to be here. This can be a moment of significant change. Thank you.
President Joe Biden talking about a murder in the full light of day.
Okay.
I've got a call. Talk amongst yourselves.
My mother.
Hey, Sparky, you back? What's going on over at the Blue Dot?
Well, I haven't been over there in a little bit.
Oh, I thought you went over there.
I was over there, and I told him the president was coming on, so I switched back.
Oh, okay.
I'm multitasking.
Yeah, it's a tough job, man. You do well.
I'm bouncing back
and
forth.
He does do well.
Sorry, I didn't hit the Skype mute button. I get so used to this new microphone I've got. It's got a button on it, and I forgot about that.
I thought that speech struck the right tone. It wasn't way over the top. It was direct. It was, you know, we have a mission. We have, you know, every corporation, every organization has to have a mission statement, and it's fucking clear. You know, enough of this wars all over the world for oil. All that. We have to fix this problem. Nothing else gets fixed until this gets fucking fixed. And that includes climate change, because if we don't fix the racial injustice problem, we can't fix climate change. We simply can't. We all have to be on board together.
Oh, they're showing Washington, D.C. There's some people dancing out in the street. I think they're in front of the White House. Yeah.
What channel are you watching, Spark?
MSNBC.
Oh.
I'm a little behind the live feed.
So I guess Joy Reid on right now?
Yeah. Guess who she just brought in as a guest?
Who? Maxine's there.
Maxine.
She's gonna get pilloried, and you know, the defense, his defense is going to play that card in the appellate court. They're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it goes nowhere. And even that judge who seems like kind of an ass. I mean, he said, yeah, you could try, but even the judge kind of hinted at that this was cut and dried case.
The Sparky.
Am I wrong?
Yes. Hey, Sparky, this is Lamar. Been a long time since I chatted at you. I've been a long time since I chatted with you, my brother. I love hearing your voice and your intellect and your insight. Helps me form some of my militant position because you are a grounding foundation for me someday.
I try to stay grounded, except when I'm working with electricity.
Well, you know, hey, we're both. Like I say, I hate to say this. I was real close to you a couple of days ago. I went to visit my daughter up in Sacramento. I thought about, since I don't know where you stay at, I can't come up there.
Well, I'm 138 miles north of Sacramento. Straight up at 100 to Red Bluff.
I'm like this, at 95 miles an hour at night, I will be traveling up that way. I'll find me a Motel 6, and then I will bug you the day after.
Guess what, Lamar? I just booked my stay in Red Bluff on overnight, June 4th.
Hey, you know what? I'm like this. I'm a California-born crazy person.
Lamar, why don't you come the fuck up that night? June 4th.
Where are you at?
Well,
where are you at?
Down. All right, so here's the deal. I live in just south of Portland. I am coming down to San Francisco to see my aunt, who is slipping into dementia. Okay.
Okay.
So
Go ahead. Go ahead.
My sister was just there, and she said, "You better get your ass down there fast." Okay.
For the Horn congregation that stays on the West Coast, I got relatives up in Washington, like Seattle. So if I ever travel, if I know where you're at, I will come and see you.
Okay.
Or at least holler at you. And like for Tracy and Billable Rick, who are in my backyard, they won't talk to me.
Well, goddamn it. Come on up that night and we'll hang out at the man cave. And have a couple of citrus mistress. How about I bring?
Oh my God! You got a man cave? Mistress.
Huh?
No, I do.
I know you got a man cave, Sparky. Talked about your man cave.
Sparky's man cave. That's the whole point.
All I ask from Sparky is to give me a pellet gun, a pellet rifle, not a pellet pistol, pellet rifle, and I'll shoot the rodents that are crawling, okay?
Don't shoot the buzzards.
I've got a pellet gun, but I don't have any pellets.
I'll bring the pellet gun.
it works with BBs, too. It's a daisy.
I got a box of Daisy BBs sitting here, man. I got a big old box from when I was down in East Texas. I brought me a big ass box of BBs. I like shooting Target, I'll shoot any rodents. Yes.
I found a hotel on booking.com. I think it's Days Inn, and it was $55 a night, maybe a little more with the tax. And that's
Days
it.
In
well, you know.
Yeah. Yes, Bucky.
Where's it located?
I'm going to put you there.
Go ahead.
Lamar, I will talk to you anytime. It's billable.
I'm going to be truthful with you. I am not monetarily challenged. Do not let money dictate my actions or my disposition. You cannot bribe me with any amount of money because money is the root of all evil.
Can I bribe you with beer at least?
The love of money is the root.
Can I bribe you with beer?
No, you can bribe me with some bourbon.
I'm bourbon too. Fuck. Sure.
Shit. I'll drink any bourbon, brown liquor. Everybody say brown liquor is a sin. Well, fine. That's your problem. My problem. I don't have a problem with brown liquor.
I have no.
I love my brown liquor
since the first time I sinned.
Yeah.
Crater Lake makes a wonderful bourbon.
I don't care. I know what? Beggars can't be picky. I'm gonna share this with you. Beggars can't be picky.
Well, I don't have any brown liquor in my house.
Well, I'll bring it.
Don't worry.
And I'm gonna bring a case of this.
I have a
beer refrigerator in the shop. It's all useful.
No,
Lamar, you just got to find your way to the fucking man cave on June 4th.
I'm like this. I'm an old time cowboy. I don't need no eyes. Just need that. You can give me a dirty glass. I ain't gonna complain.
It adds extra flavor. Especially
yes, it does. I wrote it. Push comes to shove. Push come to shove, you rub your finger around the edge to give it some more flavor.
Yeah, cockroach poop.
Well, if you come to my house, it's BYOB.
Well, I'm bringing everything.
I don't worry. I always bring what I need. I'm black, okay. Remember? Nobody expects me to do anything. Oh, I don't have a problem with sharing. Because, you know, I mean, push comes to shove. I bring two bottles. I give one for you guys, and one I'm gonna drink from the. I'm gonna crack the top, and I'm gonna drink. Put my lips on it. Now, if you man enough, you drink behind me. You get more respect from me.
I haven't drank liquor in 40 years.
Hey, Sparky,
man, I'm gonna tell you like this. San Francisco.
I'm like this. All my children were behind clear liquor, so you know I don't want no more kids, so I drink the brown shit.
And when Sparky says bring your own butt, it's a double entendre.
Hey, like I say,
you don't have to bring your own bud, you have to bring your own bottle.
You got the bud. Yeah, I don't really want to bring bud over state lines. You know, I'd prefer not to do that.
Hey, you know, you don't have to worry. I don't smoke. I smoke a pipe, tobacco. But I will stop you. I'm not going to stop you from doing what you do. Because you are free. You can do whatever you want to do. If you want to run Middle Street butt naked, I'll just see you at the hospital if you don't get ran over. That's the way I look at it.
Hey, Chris.
You know, it's just another aromatic, Lamar. You got your pipes. We got our pipes.
Chris.
Hey, I got a pipe, too.
You can legally buy tobacco. Recreational marijuana in California with an Oregon license.
Are you serious?
My stepson did it with a Nevada license.
Roger's on, right? He brought you some tidings.
Yeah. Yeah, I still got quite a bit from what Roger brought me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like this. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sparky. Go ahead.
But like the story goes, I had to shop for some other. I had to check out the delivery system. You remember the story of the delivery driver?
Yeah, if I was a delivery driver delivering bud, I would be a little missing. I would be missing in action.
Yeah, the delivery driver who got lost.
He didn't get lost. He did. He got to my house and he didn't have my order. The other guy who's delivering in a different area had my order. So we had to call the guy. Meet me at such and such a place. He didn't tell me where it was. I'm listening to him. He was talking on the phone. And then he gets off the phone. He goes, I'll be right back with your order. So it took him about 20, 30 minutes to go meet up with the guy. He was probably in Anderson or somewhere, which is north of me, because he was going to this guy that delivered to me was going and doing the Chico and Oroville route.
Oh, God damn it. Mm. Not enough training.
Hey, Sparky. Now, yeah. I'm about to go East Texas on you real quick. East Texas, family roots. Is your front porch about 6 feet by 20?
No, but my man cave is 20 by 40.
Okay, that's fine, awesome. But I like to sometimes sit. I like to sit out on the front porch and watch the vehicles every now and then between an hour and an hour and a half drive by, or I prefer to watch the cows in the next pasture.
Well, depends on when you come here. You might be able to watch cows.
That would be great. I'll be looking forward to that.
I know you have, the way you and Robin talk sometimes, I know you're in a rural area.
Well, no, I'm in a subdivision that butts up to a ranch. My backyard butts up to a cattle ranch.
Okay, well, then we will be sitting out front of the man cave so I can watch the cows. Well, and don't get mad about this.
Too. Lamar, you can smell them too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you jumped the gun.
I'll open up the north doors, and I'll let you sit in the motorized chair that I have. And
I like that. Forget the motorized chair. I like the smell of moo. I love the smell of moo in the morning.
Well, if you're at the back fence, you can walk right out there and see them.
As long as you're going to assure me I ain't going to step in no cow patties or moose turd pies.
Oh, no. They're on the other side of the fence. Don't wear flip-flops, Lamar. There's a barbed wire fence that goes around there. They come right up to the fence. And sometimes they lean over the fence and start eating my grass. And I go out there. I take the weed eater. I got a ego weed eater.
You're mean, man.
I don't hit them.
What do you do? I don't hit them.
I just come on, man. Back away from the fence.
I'm gonna call Peter on you. You being mean to Moomoo.
It's no crisis or anything, but I'm gonna have to move this to the back porch because I got a couple of things that I have to deal with outside the studio.
But no problem, Robin.
It's been a great conversation. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody. Lamar, I don't know how. I can't keep you connected. You're gonna have to come in through Skype or something.
Skype, Lamar.
I don't do well. I have Skype. I don't want to screw up my system. I'm like Bubba Rick. I am running.
Yeah, you know that's right. That's right. You don't need it anymore. You can just press the button at HeadOn.live and bang. As long as you got a headset.
I understand that, but you.
Okay. Well, anyway, I have to end this. I have to be out of here. Thanks for a great conversation this evening, everybody. I do appreciate it. I thought we would be better off talking about the Chauvin verdict together than me just running my mouth. And y'all have proved me right, and I do appreciate it. So, again, thank you all.
Brown liquor.
But again, thank you all so very much. And back for prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. So thanks, everybody, for participating. Thanks to all of our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. I guess we'll be at 1,095 tomorrow. And my apologies to Joey and Giraffe because I jumped right into the verdict stuff. It was kind of unavoidable. Thank you to everybody who keeps this program on the air, and thanks to everybody who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program. in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you, Sparky, at the seat of honor around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Remember, Malloy is on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Best place to listen to the first run of Mike Malloy is, of course, at headon.live. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember to please, if you haven't already, or if you haven't, it's been a couple of weeks, contact your member of the House of Representatives and ask them, please, to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency, AIC Act. It'll mean the world in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine as soon as you can. Wear your masks. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Wear your gloves. Use hand sanitizer wherever and as often as you can. Take it with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance, 15 feet between people with masks and, 15 generations between people who aren't. You and someone who isn't. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you hollering all about how that Derek Chauvin didn't do nothing wrong. He never should have breathed all that car exhaust at George Floyd. Avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.